Well, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you so very much for joining us for Your Daily Word. I'm Pastor Dawkins, where we go through the Word of God every morning. This is our fourth year. Praise be the Lord. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you for being a part of it. Today's reading, we're still in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's get this right. Oh, boy. We are still in the book of Deuteronomy. All right, there we go. Always got something going on. We're still in the book of Deuteronomy today. We're going to be in chapters 23 and 24. Amen. Haven't covered 21 and 22 on yesterday. Good morning, Sister Johnson. Haven't covered that on yesterday. Yesterday, chapter 21, Moses spoke to Israel about laws regarding sacrifices for murder, polluted land, if you will, talking about a heifer's neck had to be broken and prayers. All right. And then he talked about women who are captives, taken for wives, must have their head shaved and allowed to be mourned for a month. And they must be treated, must not be treated brutally. So, you know, when I was in the military, women were just starting to get into combat roles, some, if you will. But one of the worst things that we can imagine is when a woman is taken hostage. There are some things that obviously, you know, you don't want to be involved in doing that. And so that's why God was talking about women and how they ought to be treated when they become hostage after a war, if you will. And God told us in verse 21 that they must be set free rather than sold for money. And at a later stage, if the husband does not delight in her, and then in chapter 22, God talked about, you can't hide your livestock or other property, which your brother has lost. In other words, if you see a donkey or something going astray, you can't hide yourself from that. If you see a problem with your neighbor, you can't hide yourself from that. Transvestism. Is not allowed. What is transvestism? Transvestism is the changing of clothes from man to woman to man. God said that is not allowed. Cross dressing is what we would call it today. God said that is an abomination to Him. Man ought not be wearing women's clothing, nor women ought not be wearing men's clothing. Period. God says it is an abomination. In chapter 22, we read on yesterday, he also talked about roofs needing a parapet. A parapet was a wall that overlooked the roof that stopped people from falling and dying, if you will, off of the roof. And then he just talked about four laws of separation, no sowing or vineyard after different kinds of seeds, no plowing with a donkey and the ox together, no wearing clothes of different materials. Corners of clothing must have tassels on them, blah, 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 blah. He went through all of that on yesterday. And then he talked about the case of a new wife is not expected to be a virgin. And if she's found to be a virgin, a man must care. We're going to read today how they had the evidence, if you will. And that's what we covered on yesterday for the most part. Today, we're going to be in 23 and 24. Good morning, Sister Walters. Good morning, Sister Watson. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and add that. The reading there. Praise the Lord. But before we do, let us go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Lord God, with a grateful heart, we praise you today, Lord God, for what you do in our lives. Father God, you have refreshed us with a restful night's sleep, and you've given us grace to see the dawn of a new day, Lord God. Father God, you've also made this day, Father God. It belongs to you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, grant that every word that we utter today and every act that we perform today will reveal your presence in our life, Lord God. Make us thoughtful and considerate at work and keep us patient with those who irritate us, Lord God, because we know irritation is coming, Lord God. Remove from our hearts, Father God, all malice and resentment, and enable us to bear quietly the unpleasant situations that we cannot change, Lord God. Protect us from all temptation, from doubting, worry, from lovelessness, from strife, Lord God. Throughout this day, Lord God, enrich our lives with your benedictions, Father God. Protect us from accident and from harm, and bring us safely home tonight for the Lord's sake and for our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, today's reading is, it's not a long reading today, a couple of chapters. If you have your Word of God with you, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. This is the Word of God. And as you can see here from this chapter, that God excluded some from the congregation. Let's see who he excluded. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. We're going to talk about that in a second. One of illegitimate birth should not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. My God, if you were born out of wedlock, man, we're going to talk about it in a second. All right. Verse 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from the Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into blessing for you. Hallelujah. I tell you, man, that's just beautiful right there. When your curse is turned into blessing. Because the Lord your God loves you. You should not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. You should not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You should not abhor an Egyptian. Excuse me. Because you were an alien in his land. Your children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. Wow. When the army goes out, and here we're going to speak of the cleanliness of the campsite. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourselves from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he should go outside the camp. You do understand what he when he says some occurrence during the night. All right, we'll talk about that in a second. God doesn't mince any words. Where were we here? He shall not come out inside the camp, but it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you shall dig it and turn and cover your refuse. And the Lord your God walks by the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp should be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. What God is saying right here is that when you use the restroom, or use the bathroom or whatever you need, and you do the number two outside the camp, God said, cover it up. I don't want to see that. He's also saying here that if any man is asleep at night and he should have one of those dreams that we all know about, amen, amen, then you should go outside the camp and clean yourself. That's what God is saying right there. My goodness. Verse 15, and here are some miscellaneous laws. You shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst, in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. There should be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel or perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering. For both of these are abomination to the Lord your God. You should not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food, or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you do. I'm sorry, in all that which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it shall be sin to you. But if you abstain from vow, it shall not be sin to you. That which is gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you had promised with your mouth. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. And here we have laws concerning divorce. When a man takes a wife and marries her, verse 1, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of her house, out of his house, or if the latter husband dies, who took her as a wife, then the former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be the wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. We'll talk about that shortly. When a man has taken a new wife, verse 5, he shall not go out to war to be charged or be charged with any business. He should be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. No man shall take the lower or the upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. Let me stop right there for a second. The lower upper millstone was a tool that was used to crush food for poor people. All right. So what God is saying that, you know, sometimes even today you give things as collateral for a pledge. All right. But God is saying you cannot take the tool that the people use to make their food with. All right. That's what God is saying right there in that verse. Verse 7, if a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel and mistreats him or sells him, then the kidnapper shall die. And you shall put the evil away from among you. Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, just as I commanded them. So you shall be careful to do. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. When you lend your brother anything, you shall not go in his house to get his pledge. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge to you. And if the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall, in any case, return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you. And it shall be righteousness to your God, to you before the Lord your God. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in the land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on him, for he is poor and has set his heart on it. Lest he cry against the Lord and it be sin to you. Give me my money. Is what he said. Give me my money. I worked hard, you know, and he's looking forward to his check. God said, don't delay. Give him his money. Amen. Verse 16. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person should be put to death on his own sin. You shall not pervert justice due to the stranger of the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you should remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field, and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and the Lord. That the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over to the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. What God is saying is when you go and gather your plants and your grapes and your corn and whatever it is that you're gathering. My wife and I just started a garden It's been on my heart for a long time. And I finally have the land to be able to start a really decent sized garden. So we're beginning to plant this weekend. After having to buy all the supplies and all and put our hand to it. And then when we reap later on this year, well, God is saying that, and we won't do this here, but God is saying, don't reap everything. Leave some of the stuff. Because there's some people that may come past that might be hungry. There's some widows that might come past that might be hungry. There's some individuals that may come past. So leave something for them. That's what God is saying, you see, when he tells you to leave things, if you will, for that. Let's talk about some of this morning. Not a whole lot today, but let's just go back to chapter 23. Now, one of the things that we notice in chapter 23 in verses 1 and 2, he says that a phrase that is used three times in the first three verses. It says, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, that exact terminology is just restricted to the Old Testament, to these three verses. And we don't know exactly what is meant by this phrase. Amen. But most of us feel that it is a reference to dwelling among the Israelites, if you will. Although some have suggested that it means precisely that. Most agree that this phrase does indeed restrict one's participation in Israel's environment and matters, such as serving in the military or religious activities. In other words, excuse me, they couldn't enter into the congregation. And this is impossible to know for certain, but verse 1 probably speaks of intentional actions, if you will, of self-abusive customs. We have people today that self-abuse themselves. You see people that cut themselves, they'll cut themselves, that, you know, they abuse themselves in many ways. And it's a heathen a custom, if you will, self-abusive customs of the heathen. And so illegitimate. And then he talked about illegitimate children, referenced in verse 2, would have probably been those who were born, not necessarily conceived, without both a father and a mother, if you will. He had a rule in there about 10 generations. It was probably used to emphasize that God detests the practice to the point where you will never, amen, have an esteemed place with Israel when you're born out of wedlock. And so the wording could mean that they were permitted to live among the Israelites, but as second-class residents, not permitted to partake in some of the current great congregational activities. In our country today, if you're born out of wedlock, you're considered a bastard. A bastard child, you see, and there are connotations that come along with that term, you see, and so that's similar to what God is talking about right there, in verses 3 through 8, I'm going to skip that right now because that's not a whole lot right there. I'm going to skip that right there, but I do want to go to chapter 24. I want to talk about this thing that God talks about divorce, because. In our world today, we have this same situation. Divorce is rampant. 70% of Christian divorces in 70% of Christian marriages in divorce. 70% of Christian marriages in the divorce. This is not good. And so we had a provision of the Mosaic law that restricts a man from marrying a woman after his divorce from her. All right. And a subsequent remarriage to another man. All right, it would appear that the law is designed to protect the second marriage from emotions, which may potentially revive between the original marriage partners. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. A man could not remarry a woman after he divorced her. Amen. From a subsequent remarriage to another man. Do you understand what I'm saying right there? Because God is saying that that if you were to do that, the law was designed, if you will, to protect the second marriage from emotions, which may be potentially revived from the original marriage partners. Remember, these people lived in little towns. It's not like they could divorce and move to Chicago and they lived in Washington, D.C. or move to another part of the country. When they divorced right there in the community. Amen. So there were the feelings that still were there. When maybe feelings of love, maybe feelings of anger, who knows? There were still feelings right there. And so they had to be very, very, very careful that they had, that God had to protect, if you will, between the original marriage partners, and because there's a bridge burning law that says you can't go back. So some of them would get married, they would divorce the woman, get married again, but then realize that who they married in the first place, they should have went back to. I tell you, we can really screw up life, can't we? We can really screw up life. And then the other thing that I noticed out of that is God talked about uncleanness in the camp, you know, and he was serious about the camp being clean. Amen. Here's what happened here. The realization that a Hebrew woman wasn't a virgin at the one marry her is dealt with in Deuteronomy chapter 22, 13 through 30. And the penalty for this unfaithfulness was stoning to death. All right. So no divorce was required there. All right. But how did you get evidence that she wasn't a virgin? Well, watch this. What would happen is when they got married, when one got married, all right, after they would consummate the marriage, the family would go and take the sheets. You see where I'm going? They would take the sheets and they would hold them till a later day. We remember when Bill Clinton was in office, right? And that whole Monica Lewinsky thing that went on, and they held that dress. They held the dress, amen, that was had semen on the dress. Okay, they held the dress for evidence later on. And this is what they did in the old world to prove that she was a virgin. All right? And so they held the sheets after the marriage. They held the sheets because you know that she's a virgin. You know what would happen then and there. So they held the sheets as evidence. That she was in fact, she was. And so someone came later on to say they wanted to file a certificate of divorce to say that she wasn't a virgin. They would go back and look at the sheets and say that she was a virgin. It's a sheet train. It's a sheet train. You see, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. And this is exactly what was happening. I tell you, it's insane. I was saying what they did here. Because a couple of situations come to mind where a woman is still under the marriage, and there might not be a virgin. All right. And we see a situation where since the woman is no longer, right? Another scenario might be a woman taken and subsequently taken as a wife, Nothing worse than going to work expecting to be paid and you don't have my money. Okay. People lose their minds on that. And they absolutely do, because they worked hard. They put their hours in. They expect the paycheck, and they expect the paycheck to be on time and to be error free. When I was managing over 50 people in my back in the world, you know, that was a real big thing, man, to make sure that your paychecks were on time and error free. In other words, they got the money that they worked for. And let me just tell you, they worked for that money. It belonged to them. You see, we owed them that money. That was theirs. And so you want to make sure that your paycheck was on time. Verse 16 talked about you can only be executed for your own sin, not the sin of your father or your child. I can't die because of what my daddy did. And then my daddy wouldn't die because of what their father did, what the children did. Amen. But I believe in today's world, but that doesn't mean that you don't hold the child, the parent responsible for what the children are doing. For the first time in America, just last week, a couple was held responsible for the murder that their child committed. You know, I feel some kind of way about that. You ought to know what your children are doing in your home. These children are out of control. You should know. When I was a little boy, I couldn't bring anything into the home that my mama didn't buy. You understand? And she had an eyeball. She was looking at things. Some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. We no stolen stuff. No. When the riots hit in 1968, I was 7 years old. We got no stolen stuff in that house. People going up on 14th Street, bringing televisions. We didn't participate in that at all. We weren't with that. And so that's what God is saying right there. You know, you cannot, you can only be executed for your own sin, not the sin of your mother or your father. And then he talked about the legal rights of the foreigner and the poor person must be protected. And then we just talked about leave something in the field after the harvest for foreigners and poor people to glean, leave something for them to eat. Amen. And Father, we thank you for your word, your will, and your way. Lord God, we pray to be doers of the word, not hearers, deceiving ourselves. What would we would walk in your ways today, Lord God? We would do what you called us to do, Father God, how you called us to do it, Lord God. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Uh-oh, static is back. Static has stopped. My goodness, I tell you, I don't know what's going on with that, y'all. I've been trying to figure that out for the last few weeks, and I just can't get my finger on it. All right, well, listen, that's our reading for today. We'll be back before you tomorrow morning, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, as the folks like to say. Enjoy your day today. It looks a little cloudy out today. I don't know if they expect rain. I haven't checked the weather yet, but it looks a little cloudy out there today. Love on somebody today just because God loves you so much. Amen. Have a great day in the Lord. Shalom.